What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 615th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. I have show notes. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Hannah.
I am here. I finally finished all the moving stuff this past week, so I am exhausted. But I'm here.
I didn't move at all, and I'm exhausted.
Fair.
Poppy also here.
Hello. I'm here, and actually now I have complaints, like Hannah did, about these shirts, because I now have one.
Oh. And they do not I just realized you're wearing one.
They do not fit like every other Pokemon Go Fest shirt has fit in the past, which is unfortunate.
I didn't know this. Our first bit of news. The Niantic shirts are shipping.
Yeah, they are shipping. They're shipping. They're purple. And they are a slight bit tighter than the previous years. And I could say, oh, maybe I just like gained a little weight or something. But I actually bought last year's shirt at the same time. So I tried them both on today. Last year's shirt fits fine. This year's shirt, same size, is tighter. So if you're going to buy, maybe that might make you think that it's definitely smaller than like last year's shirt the year before that. So
Necrozma imprint like hard, or like how do they print it?
Hard?
Yeah, like
it all feels the same. Like it all feels...
It feels like past shirts.
Yes. Okay. It feels exactly like past shirts. Yeah.
And there's like a certain printing style. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, where it's kind of feels like it's laminated on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like every other GoFest shirt. No different.
So. Did you check the tags to see if it was a different brand?
I didn't, but from what I could see, everything looked pretty much the same. I mean, I wasn't analyzing it like line by line, but it looked similar to last year's shirt.
Okay.
So, yeah.
This is the breaking news we need on the show. Surprise, surprise. We have a lot of Pokemon Sleep stuff to cover this week. There was also some new events in Scarlet and Violet, and Pokemon Go is still moving forward with their rediscovering community hate, I guess. People are still not excited about Avatars stuff, but... Actually, we're going to do reverse. We're going to end the show with Pokemon Sleep. We're going to start the show with Pokemon Go, because we were already talking about the Pokemon Go shirt, which apparently is shipping. They rolled out... Let's talk about the good stuff in Pokemon Go. They rolled out the new backgrounds. They're absolutely fantastic. They're super great. There's a lot more than I thought there would be.
Yes.
They're not... I guess, like... I didn't really look at the beta stuff, but whatever Bobby was in. I'm in California, so I get early access stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, oh, if you have city background, there's just one city that will appear behind you. But it's like, different every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe there's, like, 10 of them, but I haven't been able to been like, ah, this is exactly the same one I saw yesterday.
Yep. Definitely a lot more than you'd think. Like you said, I was part of that whatever little small test group that they did, which I still think is somewhat like location based, because I would go to parts of San Diego. Any beach stuff over the last few months, I was not getting the new backgrounds. So everything would change in my game if I got like on the coast. It would all change back to the old game. But yeah, I was surprised at how many different backgrounds there are for each biome. I mean, I'll be in my house if the Pokemon is in different directions, you got different backgrounds, you know, all in the same place. So it is cool that they weren't just like, oh, let's do one for each biome, like here's six new backgrounds. You know, it's definitely a lot more than that,
and they look fantastic. It almost feels like upgrading to a new game in some ways, because they changed the overall map too. They changed the overworld map at the same time.
And you can kind of, when you're looking at the overworld map, you can kind of see where a new location might actually be.
Yeah. There's more distinct lines between some of the different places. I mean, at least parks stand out a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was I was one-wheeling around Lake Nokomis, which is like a pretty big lake in the Minneapolis area, and it had the like beach or like written out, not beach, but like lakeside effect, which I know there's a separate one for beach. And I'm curious because Lake Nokomis has like the world's smallest beach. It's like it's like this like tiny area. But I'm curious if I was to go over there, if that would change. But it was cool seeing the like that was the first time I saw Riverside area. And I was like, man, this looks so great, because I never saw that one on Twitter or social media. So seeing it the first time was like, dang, this looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing I tried to keep from. I mean, I started doing it like in the Slack and stuff, but when I was screenshotting stuff, well, I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't be like posting this so that people get their own first like look, and they're not like, I've seen all these backgrounds, you know. And so there was a lot that I didn't post, but then I was, again, the beach stuff was all brand new to me. So I think the first time I saw the beach background was like when Wiglet came out, you know, like on what was on what that was on Monday, right? That was on last.
Yeah.
When the backgrounds came out. So that was the first time I had seen the beach background, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they're super great. And and it's so weird that I haven't seen anyone complain about them or be upset about them. I've only seen positive things. And it's so weird that like the Avatar stuff was kind of the opposite reaction.
Yeah, part of me wonders, I guess it worked out how they did it, because part of me was like, maybe they should have released them like same day and just cut the like, you know, cut it in half. So you have like a bunch of complaining, but a bunch of positive stuff all at the same time. But then obviously they don't want to release two features at the exact same time to everybody, because that probably would have crashed the game, knowing just Niantic in the past. So, you know, maybe it was good to do both. I will say the one thing. Yeah, my only complaint is that the in-go snapshot, the assets from the encounter background screen are appearing like in the sky. So I'll see rocks or like bushes or trees, not trees. It's like bushes or like hedges, and rocks will just appear in the sky. And, you know, you reset the game and it seems to work again sometimes. But then if you click off and go to another Pokemon, it kind of like it's hit or miss. Like it might happen, it might not happen, and you have to reset the game, and then it seems to work. So I know obviously they're doing the update for Go Snapshot as well, and I know some people in Australia now have that. There's a small test group there that now can place multiple Pokemon and do all of that. So maybe it came with that. I don't know. It's something within the last like week and a half though made using Go Snapshot a lot worse, which is not great leading up to them trying to make it better. So, well,
we only have about a week until that update.
I know, but as someone who uses it a lot, a week feels like a long ways away.
Leak Duck put out a poll here with 16,000 votes, which is a lot. I mean, it's a lot for a quick, like, how do you feel about this? I mean, there's millions of people who play Pokemon Go. But 16,000 is a lot of people. 4.9% of people say they love the Avatar update. 25.4%, so 1/4 of people say it's okay. And then 69.7% of people say they are not a fan, which I think what maybe Greg mentioned last week is maybe Niantic thought it would be closer to 50-50.
Remember, this is still on Twitter. That factors some things into. Just to mention that.
Yeah, you know, Twitter's very negative.
This poll was on a social media platform that not everybody uses anymore. Not that everybody used it in the first place, but a lot of people have stopped for reasons.
Yeah, Twitter made up of only 1 in 10 adults were actually using Twitter when it was Twitter.
But, yeah. Having almost 70% of people really hate the new Avatar update is sad.
Yeah.
I would definitely be in the it's okay camp, and I probably would have been in the love it camp if I hadn't been listening to everybody who doesn't.
Yeah, I will say when I got the early test version of this, which by the way, of all the three things that they're coming out with this Rediscover campaign, like I'm glad like I got the encounter back screen or background earlier, the Avatar earlier, but I really would have loved the go snapshot thing earlier. I would have traded that in a heartbeat to get the go snapshot thing early, but you know, that is what it is. When I first saw it, I thought, okay, I'm not a huge fan, but maybe that's just me, you know? So I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. I kind of made my avatar look a certain way that I was like, okay, I'm good with this. Again, the overall concept, great. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. And again, it was the small test group. So maybe they're improving it, you know, like with the backgrounds, there was a lot of tweaks that happened over the last 3 months with those backgrounds. It was not just, this is it. And then it came out. With the avatars, it was the opposite. It was, that's it. And it came out and it didn't change anything in that time. And so when it did come out, and I hadn't even been on social media yet, on that, whatever it was, Thursday or Friday that it came out, I just heard, like, I think I got text messages from people that were like, oh, what did they do with this? And then I hopped online and was like, oh, no one likes this. Like, this is not good. Sounds like they're looking at taking feedback, which is weird because there was feedback before, like with the small test group, with other people. It's not like they didn't have feedback and then all of a sudden are getting a ton of feedback. Like, they had feedback. It was a month or two that people had, that some people had this and they were saying things about it. So it feels like I don't know. I'm not going to take that statement any further, but it sounds like they are taking feedback now. So hopefully there will be some tweaks done, some fixes.
Yeah, it only took them over a year to rework the mega system after feedback. Although this doesn't maybe seem like the mega system was a complete rework from the ground up and everything.
That was a whole new system. This is just listening to feedback and improving visuals, hopefully.
And I said last week, I was just so shocked about how many limited hairstyles there was. Like, that was pretty shocking that, like, I was excited to have a hair. I don't know. I guess I think of the Scarlet and Violet editor. And I don't think the Scarlet and Violet character customization thing is that advanced or complicated. But I think it does it well enough where people feel like they can make their face in a very, like, I would say there's like a more chibi way in Scarlet and Violet, right? Not a, like a realistic, not that Niantic's characters before were realistic, but Scarlet and Violet's definitely more chibi, but not as
still
chibi.
Still a Pokemon, as Pokemon style where you are a child going out into the Pokemon world.
Yeah, very, very childlike faces, but still,
Go
like
is not that.
What, like, Scarlet and Violet feels like it has, I don't actually know, but it has over like 20 haircuts, maybe even 30. Like, there's a lot of haircuts that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and most of them look good, as opposed to the new haircuts in Go, where most of them don't.
Well, I mean, you think about, like, they want to do this so that people can look more like themselves, right? And I've also heard the argument where people say, you don't have to look like yourself, you can look like whatever you want, so just change it to something else, and that's fine. But the whole point of adding all these customizations in is to be able to make it look more like yourself, or else why do that? Like, you could just have the avatars however you want otherwise, right? When they do that, and then they're like, and here's the long hair style choices, and it's literally what the default female one was previously, and then they added one more. It's like, why even do that? Like, you got to add more choices there. You added one more long hairstyle. Like, I don't know. It just feels like there just needs to be more. And maybe now that that's in there this way, it might be a little bit easier for them to just add more styles because.
Yeah, you can buy new haircuts. They'll just be, you know, $199 each.
Oh, that's what it's going to be, isn't it? Like,
you can really rediscover yourself and your wallet at the same time.
You can do the Mr. Mime research and get a haircut to match or something for $5.
I'm fully expecting that for facial hair, I will say.
Oh, yeah, like, maybe not like for use haircuts, a beard for...
Yeah, just because that's how they've implemented it so far.
Yeah, didn't even think about that.
I'm not bald yet. Maybe eventually.
This is true.
But if you put on like the Giratina helmet and you turn your character around, your character is bald. Like it removes the hair. Why was there no bald option for the people who are bald, whether that's a choice or not?
There isn't even I didn't even think about the fact that there's not like a bald option. There's no bald,
there's no beard.
Mm-hmm.
Glasses should not cost money. That is, I think the cheapest glasses is like 50 Poke coins, but like
they've always had some free glasses, I think.
I thought the glasses were always paid.
I think maybe there were a couple of colors that were free.
Mm. I think the point being, you go back to like 5% of people like it, 25% of people are okay with it. That's like 30% of people that are like tolerating the update. But when I think of like a complete redesign, and again, we have just literally case in point this week of the backgrounds, which everyone loves. Universally, I'm sure there's one person out there being like, I really hate, like, yeah, I'm sure that person exists that they hate it. But like, they just had this opportunity to have like two wins under their belt. And I don't know who was on the Avatar team or who approved it or if they had more things, but it needed to come out the same time as this background, at the same time as this AR, because they needed all this stuff to, I mean, in the reality, this is like, all of this was probably planned several months ago, and it was like, okay, we need to ship it because it's part of our start of summer before GoFest reinvent yourself campaign. Just the limiting choices of hairstyles and options and the clothes still clipping, and even if you did find a hairstyle you like, it doesn't work with the hat or the hairband you like. It's subjective, but a lot of people, myself included, think the avatars don't look as good. I don't have a problem with the faces as much as I do, like, the shoulders and the hands.
Hands?
Yeah,
very
like,
specific.
Yeah, like, you know the Obstagoon pose where they put the hands in front of you?
Uh-huh.
Literally no one uses that. If you see before and after of the Obstagoon pose, the hands on the new characters are just so much bigger than the hands on the old character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I use the pose where it's like I'm throwing the gift in the air. Like throwing the gift behind my back and catching it. And now that you mention it, and maybe it's just because you just said it, but the fingers seem oddly long on me as I'm holding the gift. Like, it does seem like maybe the hands are... I had heard a little bit about that online. Like, I had seen scrolling through, like, threads or something and seen people, like, mention the hands, but I hadn't put too much thought into that part.
It's way more obvious if you're using like the Obstagoon pose.
I'm going to use the Obstagoon pose now. But
I still think it's just a different style, that they just look different. I don't think that it's bad. I don't know. I'm looking at a bunch of different people on my friends list right now, and I see what you're saying, that the hands are bigger, but that's just a different art style thing.
Yeah.
The hands are bigger, and especially the Obstagoon pose.
It might be like what Greg said, is like you can adjust your weight and your shoulders and your chest. And there's like one more slider, the muscle slider.
Mm-hmm.
But like your head doesn't change, or your arm length doesn't change, or your... So I think it's maybe that. I think like because your hands, your arms, your legs, and your head are not moving in any of that situation.
They're trying.
They are trying. That is, I wish still, that was one of the leak duck options for that poll. They are trying, .. I would have chosen that one 100%.
And I'm still kind of refining my list of the things that I think would have gotten it to be better, and it continues to be something like more hairstyles that are better integrated. I think I've added facial hair. I think that a lot of people would be more comfortable with their characters if they were able to add that. Then a waist slider was something a lot of people wanted, and being able to have the whole body move proportionally to the weight slider, including the head.
Yeah, so because I was gonna say, like, I think one thing is like face shape, like even if it doesn't have to be on a slider or anything, but just having a few different options for like head shape or face
Scarlet
shape.
Scarlet and Violet has that too.
What does
Scarlet and Violet? They have like a head shape. They have, I think, like 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah, something like that would have been nice. Also, I know I've heard a lot of people talking about the skin colors. They hit on a lot more, obviously, but then there are just some where it's like, could have just done like a slider or something for like pick one and then kind of to a slider for where to fit within that, you know, within that skin tone. So I know people have been talking about that as well, which I...
The weird thing about the skin color, and I said this last week, is it feels like it's lighting based because the color you're picking in the color picking window looks like the color you should be. And then when you go out to your character, it either looks way brighter or way darker.
Mm.
And when I think about like the lighting in the game, the thing that surprised me about the new backgrounds is the characters are lit. The Pokemon are lit differently, whether the moon is out or the sun is out or it's dusk or if there's a water behind the Pokemon, it's like reflecting off that. Like, it's more than just like the new background. They did like some sort of lighting system with it, and it's really great. Where was the lighting team when the avatar team was picking color?
Yeah, it is kind of surprising how different the reception to these rollouts has been. I mean, within what, it was April 17th when the Avatar one dropped, and then it was April 22nd when the encounters, and just watching social media, just the wave of going from, oh my gosh, we all hate this, and then Earth Day comes around and it's, oh my gosh, we all love this. You know, it's just so weird to see that change happen so quickly. But it worked, I guess, to some extent for Niantic.
People are still pretty annoyed.
Yes, they are. But there was a considerably less amount of negativity Monday, Tuesday with the social media stuff than the prior week when the Avatar stuff came out.
I don't think the camera stuff is going to be like a win for them. Like, I just don't think enough people I mean, like, Bobby's here, obviously. But I just...
It's small. That's not a huge feature. A lot of people don't even want to do anything related to... A lot of people are like, why do they even have anything AR in this game? Just give us, you know, what we do on a regular basis. But, And from what I've heard, it's from the small test group so far, from the little I've seen, it's good, but it's not like game changing for Go Snapshot or anything. I think it will be a positive, but yeah, it'll be a positive for a very small group of people at the end of the day.
A very small positive for a very small group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
If you listen to our podcast every week, and I know there are some listeners that do not play Pokemon Go, maybe you might care about Pokemon Go here because Diancie is returning to Pokemon Go, which I say that because there's not a lot of ways to get her. They haven't done a distribution for Diancie in a while, but there will be a special research story, Glitz and Glam, available to all trainers for free. Free, very... not a word commonly used in Niantic's vocabulary. Starting on May 1st at 10 a.m., trainers who complete the special research will earn an encounter with the mythical Pokemon Diancie. The special research will not expire, but you have to obviously like log in and claim it. And then once you claim it, it won't expire. And it doesn't say what you have to do. But if you are missing a Diancie for your Pokedex or your Pokemon Home Pokedex, you can log in, you can claim it, you can do this research at your own pace. You can, once you get the Diancie, you can move it to Pokemon Home and then won't have to worry about playing Pokemon Go again until your next mythical Pokemon you're missing.
You can, right? You can transfer this one to Pokemon Home. I hadn't seen. I know there's a few that... Are there any that stop you anymore? You used to, obviously.
Weeple,
like
you cannot move.
But Weeple, okay.
And Cosmog, I don't think you could have moved initially.
Yeah, you couldn't initially. I feel like that's changed, but I definitely haven't checked it.
Yeah. Usually the restriction is around you need to keep this Pokemon to finish some research story, and we can't have you taking it. I don't know. There might be people that like roll their eyes and they're like, I'm still not going to play Pokemon Go for a mythical Pokemon. But then I kind of think of like, you have so many people go, I don't want to go to GameStop and get my Diancie. That doesn't feel very mythical.
Mm, right.
Like, but I feel like there's no winning with those people.
Sure. Well, was there another way? So I'm looking right now at like Diancie distributions, and it looks like, unless I'm looking at this incorrectly, it looks like the last time it was even distributed in like main series games was in 2016.
Yep. Yeah. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Right. And it wasn't part of the Year of Mythical giveaways. So, right. It wasn't a part of that.
No.
It looks like it was like 26. So actually 2016 in South Korea, but 2015 in the US was the last time that it was distributed here.
Well, I mean, besides it also being in Pokemon Go prior to this again.
So sorry. Yeah. I meant just for main series.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then it was in Pokemon Go. I don't even remember. Was it a Go Fest thing?
It mm-hmm. was, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So and not it's a saying, lot of people have it, but if you've already done that research for the Go Fest Diancie, you're going to get candy instead of a second Diancie this time around.
Why don't they want people to have Diancie? What is so special about Diancie that they're really holding back?
That's why I was talking to the non-Go players. This is your chance.
Jeez.
Usually for the non-Go players who might want a Diancie, or if you didn't get it from the GoFest one initially because you didn't log in that weekend to like claim the GoFest stuff, you would obviously be able to have access to this because it's free. These are usually pretty easy. The difficulty, if you even want to consider that, is it might have something like spin a Pokestop every day for 7 days or 10 days or something. So that's like, I got to go out and walk down the street and spin a stop. Like, that's usually how difficult they get. It's not going to be something like, get 100 excellent throws in a row.
Right. Well, I'm a little surprised that it's a free event for a mythical, right? Because, I mean, think about the last mythical that they gave us in Pokemon Go with a ticket. It was $8 for a Zarude. And that C-Dot, and you got a C-Dot encounter during that $8 ticket, but, you know, it was $8 for a Zarude, and I don't know, it's not typically free for these random, like, mythical events in Pokemon Go.
So what I saw is actually every Pokemon Go Fest mythical has been free after the fact. So since Zarude wasn't Go Fest, or Keldeo wasn't Go Fest, those were paid. The only exception to the you were at Go Fest, so now you're free for everyone, is Celebi. And that's, I believe, because they use Celebi for the Zarude movie. And that one was also shiny as well.
Shiny.
Free, yeah, shiny for Celebi. Everyone. So yeah. This isn't a made up pattern by Niantic. It is. This was a GoFest Pokemon, so it was at GoFest that exclusivity has ended. Now it's free for everyone. Granted, you log in and you claim it.
I guess I didn't realize that they never did that last year after GoFest. Because usually, like, right, isn't it usually a research will come out for everybody later in the year for the mythical that people did at GoFest.
Yeah, I'd and have so to look at a waited. Calendar. This feels a little bit longer.
Usually, like, in September of that year that GoFest happened, that now everybody has the opportunity. Like, Victini was a GoFest thing, and then in, like, September, it was anybody could get the Victini research and get Victini. So, as definitely, I was thinking maybe along the lines of just the lead-up to Legends, ZA, like, just because it's Kalos and everything, so just, like, the lead-up to that, maybe there'll be some things like that, but, I don't know. I just thought it was a very weird time to throw this event out there. But to your point, like, go get your Diancie, you know, like, free opportunity. Just play some Pokemon Go, which
first time in almost 10 years.
You can join us and complain about the new avatars together when you finally log in. You can do it all. Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we get some Scarlet and Violet stuff, and then we'll do our Pokemon Sleep stuff, and we'll wrap up the show. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Shaker and Spoon. Shaker and Spoon is a subscription cocktail service that helps you learn how to make handcrafted cocktails right at home. Every box comes with enough ingredients to make 3 different cocktail recipes developed by world-class mixologists. At just $50 to $60 per month, plus the cost of any other stuff you want to add, it is a super effective, super cost-effective way to enjoy craft cocktails, and you can skip and pause boxes at any time. This makes a great gift for Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day already happened, 4th of July. Look, it's a good gift. And you can get $20 off your first box by going to shakerandspoon.com/PKMNCAST. That is $20 off your first box over at shakerandspoon.com/PKMNCAST. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. If you would like to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST. And for $5 a month, you can get ad-free episodes and you can get bonus episodes every month as well. That's like $1.25 a week to not hear any ads and to get a bonus episode in your podcast feed every single month. On top of that, we have tiers that send out stickers and posters and mugs. You get to join our Slack community. And we have a couple other cool things coming down the pipeline. But if you want behind the scenes, if you want ad-free episodes, if you want to join our Slack and you want bonus episodes, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show and to get some cool rewards. You can also just sign up for Patreon for free. There's a little free button. You can hit that button. And you'll at least get updates coming. Also, a great way to support the show is just heading over to our Patreon and hitting that join for free button, as we are very close to 1,000 members over there. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. And we are back from our break. Walking Wake and Iron Leaves returns. This is technically the third time, but the fourth time, because it broke.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But it would have been 3, but they had to, like, do a makeup event. So I believe the last time Walking Wake and Iron Leaves were in raids was over Christmas, or around Christmas, which...
Was it that long ago? I guess so.
I think so. I had to, like, scroll through my Instagram to see, like, when's the last time I posted about this. Obviously, there will be repeat raids. We had like a repeat 7-star Charizard. I'm sure we'll get repeats of other 7-star raids. But a lot of people get the game for Christmas. And expecting somebody to like plow through the game in a week to get these before they leave is asking a lot of a player. But I saw a ton of people excited that these were back because they missed it. Also, like if you have both Scarlet and Violet, you can get both on each copy. So you can get 2 of each technically. Might be helpful since these are limited and they will probably remain limited throughout this like life cycle.
Yeah, they feel kind of trapped in raids, limited raids.
Yeah, this kind of feels like the Poiple in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. Like, you can get another Poiple, you just got to play through the entire game again. And these other Ultra Beasts, you can get as many as you want, but this Poiple, one per copy, unless you want to start again.
Blacephalon and Stekataka were like that too.
They gave you 2 of each.
You got 2 of each with those. That was definitely weird. I have both Scarlet and Violet, and I think I caught my Iron Leaves in Violet, and then my Walking Wake in Scarlet, like different times. So it's like, okay, this time I think I gotta go and get one of each of the other versions.
Yeah. These are still pretty high up there on the GTS request for trades. It ends on May 6th. Started on Thursday, April 25th. We'll go until May 6th. Obviously, you got to connect to the internet to get the opposite one. I put a whole YouTube video out on 2 Pokemon you can use to get these. They work in both solo and group situations, although I can't hold your hand. I can give you the tools. I can tell you how to do it. Also very dependent on the players with you, right? You could have the best raid build in the world, and if you line up with Cindy and Cindy brings a level 20 Chimchar, it's all to lose. No matter how good your Pokemon is, it's all to lose. But they're not terribly difficult. Our Discord has been doing them. Our Slack has been doing them. you swing by stream, I could probably help you if I'm not stuck in another game. If you only have a copy of Scarlet, for example, and you want an extra set of Walking Wake or Iron Leaves, you can make another new profile on your Switch. You will have to get through the tutorial, which may take you an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then once you're there, you can move a Pokemon from your main game into Pokemon Home, switch over, move that into your side account, and then it doesn't matter how many gym badges you have, a Pokemon in a raid will listen to you no matter what. So then you can get another Walking Wakes and Iron Leaves. That's like 2 hours of extra work, but if you really want another one, it's technically a free way to do it. Look, if you don't get them this weekend, I'm sure in another 6 months they'll come back.
And yeah, maybe one day there'll be a distribution or something when the shiny. That's the Poipole was a distribution eventually when the shiny came out.
Yeah,
or that's how you got that you could get a shiny one. I guess it wasn't when the shiny came out, but that is how you could get a shiny.
Could
one.
You forget the drive to GameStop to get your shiny Poipole?
Memorable. Just the conversation I had with the employee that day to get my shiny Poipole. Never forget it.
They also released a brand new event, which was Catch Magikarp, Shinx, Roller, Varum in Scarlet and Outbreak. Scarlet and Violet mass outbreaks. I'm just skipping words here, trying to get through this show as fast as possible. That will also go, that's Thursday the 25th through Monday, May 5th. Both Magikarp and Varum is in Paldea, Shinx in Kitakami, and Relor in Blueberry Academy. These do have an increased shiny chance, whether you have the shiny charm or not, but only for those four Pokemon I named. And the theme here is, I believe it's Golden Week in Japan, so these are the Pokemon that are gold when they are shiny. So it's the same as the, there's been like two or three mass outbreaks that have had increased shiny odds. It's either increased shiny odds or increased marks. And I believe the base odds for that are like about 1 in 200 without the shiny charm, and then it's like 1 in 75 with shiny. I made a graph on Instagram and Twitter. There's a lot of numbers depending on sandwich or not sandwich or outbreak or not outbreak or charm or not charm.
From what I remember during the Flabebe, was it Flabebe, Fungus, and something else?
Litwick?
Litwick, right. And then there's also the Voltorb one as well.
Fungus and Voltorb was like the same.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like people were saying that the sandwiches, you could do it, sure. But I mean, the odds are really good already.
Yeah.
So maybe not, might not be as worth it to use them on stuff like this versus like if you're just going and doing like a regular mass outbreak versus these boosted ones.
That's true, but Herba Mystica is easier to come by at this point. So
true,
there is that.
Yeah, but if you're limited on it, you know, it's like maybe try it a little bit without a sandwich because you do have those higher odds to begin with. So it might be not as necessary as usual.
Yeah, unless you care about big or small or marks, then you kind of have to rely on Herba Mystica. Yeah. I need my shinies to be as rare as possible, clearly. So.
Of course you do.
My marked humongo shiny is worth more than your non-humongo shiny.
Uh-huh.
Yep. My eBay profile just skyrocketing after this event. I like the, here's a new event, but here's also a repeat event for people who might have missed it. Not everyone can do every event every weekend. Like, I was out of town when the Eevee event happened, where it was like, mass outbreaks of Eevees, so I didn't even get like an opportunity. Not that I need like shiny Eevee, but it was like, I'm just out of town when this event happens, so I can't do it. So it was nice to be like, I don't know, I'm never gonna complain like, oh man, a repeat Walking Wake, why can't they give us Gouging Fire? Or like, I get that not everyone can do every event. Also, this is the same company that likes to put every single event on every single weekend. Like, there's a new event here, and there's a Pokemon Go hatch day, and there's a 7-star raid, and also NAIC is this weekend, and I need some breathing room. So I do like, here's a new event, here's a new mass outbreak event, here's also a repeat event. I think that's great. And I expect that's probably how the next year is going to play out.
And forever after that.
Yeah. Like, I would be curious if they... We record these on a Sunday morning, and usually 7-star raids get announced on a Sunday night. I would be curious if they announce a 7-star raid tonight. They might, but, like, these two events are still going into this weekend. Mm-hmm. That would be another event on top of the two events they already have. I think there's enough content. I think if they do it, like, that's not surprising. They like to stack things, but I think that's enough content.
I mean, they could announce something, but for like 2 weeks out, maybe, if they wanted to.
They've done heads up before of like, it's next week, not this week, which would be nice.
For you to be able to make the content.
Yeah, I think that's nice. I mean, like, for me, like, I have so many resources in the game that I can build a Pokemon in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think for, like, I always think of the average player of, like, thing gets announced on Sunday, the raid starts on Thursday. To be like, okay, drop everything. You got to build a new Pokemon so you can do it on Thursday where everyone's going to be doing it the most, and then Friday, and then, like, you know, just like raids and other games. It's like, if you're not doing it right away, everyone's moved on. Or you're stuck with Cindy and her level 20 Chimchar. Then you're done for. You can't do it. I like mass outbreaks. I think they're great. I think they're a fun way to play the game for those that don't like raids. But, you know, I also like raids.
Yeah, I definitely fall into the mass outbreaks camp more than raids. Just I like the catching more than battling. But also, yeah, if you don't have a whole lot of time, right, there's not a huge amount of setup or really any setup with the mass outbreaks versus what you do have to kind of set up with the raids. Although I feel like enough have been done over time that if you've been building things over time, then you probably have a decent collection built up for stuff. Doesn't mean it's going to work every time, but it's been getting people to get collections of level 100 Pokemon built up, which past games didn't do in the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've been doing all the raids, you're probably in a position where you can build a Pokemon in 10-15 minutes anyways. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of surprised they're not doing more mass outbreaks, but I'm always happy to see them.
Yeah, it seems like, what, maybe like one a month?
Maybe a little bit less.
Yeah. We got, what, two months to NAIC, and then 3-ish months to Hawaii?
Mm-hmm. Do you think things are going to change after that, though, really? I mean, especially with, like, the fact that they didn't announce a new game for this year or anything, so...
No, I think the pacing is still on track to be normal, new game or not.
Yeah.
Like, we now have one restricted legend, and that will go into this Worlds, right? And next Worlds should still be in the Scarlet and Violet format. To those listening being like, what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be another year of Scarlet and Violet. They're going to continue doing 7-star raids. They're going to continue doing mass outbreaks. They did this at the end of Sword and Shield. Like, we were getting, you know, different raid events in Sword and Shield. And Worlds next year should be two restricted Pokemon, because that's how the end of Sun and Moon was. That was the end of Sword and Shield was. That should be the end of Scarlet and Violet, should be two restricted Pokemon. So I could see we're Regulation G now, I think. So Regulation G, yes, is one restricted Pokemon. So I think the ones that are dominant in testing are Shadow Calyrex, Terapagos, and I actually think it's Coridon are like the top three.
Scarlet continues to win.
Surprised. I'm a little surprised.
I thought it was going to be Maridon.
Yeah, that's where I would have thought too.
Sun is more dominant than electric terrain, and I think Coridon deals with Kyogre, which has been not like deals directly, but like you get to shut down its rain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, water is at least resisted and weakened in the sun. So weather has always been strong. But Terapagos, obviously, is like the probably similar to Zacian here in the sense of unique terrestrialization ability. Mm-hmm. And then Shadow Calyrex has always been good. it's been good. Those are the top three that I saw going around. Now, obviously, that can change once Ladder opens and people figure out how to make things work. But yeah, it's one restricted. And we'll see the one restricted at Worlds. And then after that will be Regulation H. Who knows what Regulation H will be? I don't think Regulation H is going to be the, okay, now here's your second restricted. Right. But I could see them doing like a ban of like, hey, for these next 3 months, these 10 Pokemon are banned. Figure it out. Because mm-hmm. they have not done a ban season yet. And they did at least one ban season for Scarlet Sword and Shield. And I think for Sword and Shield, if I remember correctly, they did a season where, or they, maybe it wasn't a season. Maybe it was just like a tournament where it was like no Dynamax at all.
That sounds familiar.
And so I could definitely see them doing a tournament slash a season of like no terrestrialization at all, which also changes things. Like, I don't think Terrapagos would be nearly as good if it could not terrestrialize.
Nope. Oh,
right. That's weird when they do something like that, because it's like, here's the gimmick of the entire series for this time around, and then we're going to remove it. We're going to remove your ability to do it for, I guess it's only if it's only for like...
Yeah, if it's a limited tournament, just keeping things interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is always interesting to see, like, would a Pokemon like Annihilate or Walking Wake be good in a format where a Terrestrialization doesn't hard counter it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who knows? But I don't know. I guess I don't know if, like, people are listening, like, being like, oh, maybe ZA comes out in March and that's going to be the world's game for next. Like, I don't think anyone thinks that, like... I would be surprised if that game has any sense of competitive at all.
That was my thing. I do think I'm in the camp of maybe this game comes out in Q1 of 2025, similar to how Legends Arceus came out in Q1 of 2022, I believe. So I'm in that camp, but I don't think that it would have any competitive part to it. I think that it would be. I mean, who knows what we've seen from this so far, but I sort of think it won't. I think it will be Scarlet Violet through next year, and Legends ZA won't have any effect on the competitive side.
Yeah, we're still figuring out what a Legends game is, but it doesn't seem to be a battle-focused thing.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to point out that both Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee and Legends Arceus, they both have mass release.
Here we go.
Just want to point that out there. Switching over to Pokemon, Sleep. Entei is arriving in late May. You can exchange samples of Entei mane that you collect for an Entei incense, in which you can research various sleep styles. It is a fire type helper Pokemon, so we recommend raising your fire type Pokemon to get ready. There's not a lot of fire type Pokemon in this game. Now, you might think, like, oh, Houndour. Nope, that's considered a dark type. That does not count as your fire type. You have Charmander line, you have the Growlithe line, you have the Cyndaquil line, and you have Flareon. You have really ultimately four options as fire type Pokemon in this game. After they announced Entei, they announced that Vulpix was coming to Pokemon Sleep. So you've gone from four options to five options. Not a whole lot here. They also said that Entei will be coming to Greengrass, which is not a surprise. Although a lot of Fire-type Pokemon come to Topolo. I think I would like to see you have an option of picking to like, oh, I want to do Entei on Topolo or I want to do Entei on Greengrass. I don't think that would be bad, but I think the reality is this is just probably just going to be Greengrass. Just like Raikou.
I was thinking, like, if they do ever open that up to where a legendary would be in multiple places, I think it would be after they finish the beasts. So I think Entei and Suicune would both just be green grass, and then if they wanted to change it up, I think it would be after they do those. But I didn't think that, like, Entei or Suicune would be available in multiple locations.
A big selling point to Legends is to bring, like, new people to your game. And if it's not on the most accessible starting island, then like even if you gave like those people a heads up,
yeah,
like that's still
could still be on both. Though.
Yeah, it could still be on both.
Yeah, it could be on both. But for this particular event, for the Entei one, they specifically say that they are preparing some functions and rewards that will allow everyone, even Pokemon Sleep beginners, to research Entei's sleep styles and befriend it. So they are outright directly saying that beginners will be able to get it this time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they did say that for Raikou as well, and Bobby got a Raikou.
I did. So I guess the question now is, you know, the fire type week going to happen, but it's not yet. So like this coming, you know, for everyone listening, right? It's like the first day of the week. Is the move to go to Taupe Hollow prior to that to get that? Like I'm newer, right? So I don't have much on anything at this point. Like I've been to Greengrass. The only time I've been to Greengrass was for Raikou. It was like the first week I had to be there and then the Raikou event. And then since then, just been to other places. So I haven't actually even visited Greengrass again since the Raikou event.
You've been blessed.
So for me... So actually, I still don't know the music of Greengrass because I wasn't listening to any of it on the music prior to Cyan Beach.
And the Raikou event had different music.
It did.
It did?
Yeah, the music was so good too.
No. See, this is the thing that I'm learning now. So I will say after going back to Cyan Beach, I really miss the music of Taupe Hollow. Like that music wins out for me. It's very good. Hannah, you were correct. It is... better
it's
than
fantastic music.
It is good. It is great. Yeah, so part of me is like, well, I should go to Greengrass so I get the musical experience of Greengrass since I haven't had it yet. But and the other part of me is like, but I miss that Taupe Hollow music. They need to just have a soundtrack released so
they
I can
really
just
do.
Listen to this all the time.
They keep
so
adding
great.
In relaxing sleep sounds, but what we really want to listen to is the Pokemon sleep music itself.
Yes.
The fire type week that will start, well, this podcast comes out on the 29th, so that will start next week on Monday, May 6th, and that will, if you would like to prepare for the Entei event during the fire type Pokemon will be helpful. We encourage you to befriend lots of fire type Pokemon. During this event, you'll be able to meet Pokemon of various sleep types regardless of your own, which is helpful because a lot of fire type Pokemon are behind like snoozing or something, which is like the hardest sleep style to get. Fire-type Pokemon will be more likely to appear. During this event, you'll be able to get a mini candy boost function, which doubles the effects of your candy. It's a great opportunity to raise your Fire-type Pokemon. In addition, one Pokemon that visits will be hungry for sure. This applies once per day. This is a separate effect from friend incense or good camp tickets. On top of that, you will get rewarded a Vulpix incense through limited time missions. They are saying that if you go to Greengrass, you will have a higher type appearance of Charmander, Charmeleon, Vulpix, Ninetales, Growlithe, Flareon, Cyndaquil, Palava, Typhlosion. If you go to Cyan Beach, you will only get Growlithe. That's it. Nothing else. There's no Charmanders, there's no Flareons, there's no Vulpix. If for whatever reason you were the one listener being like, I need Growlithe, Cyan Beach is for you.
Need Growlithe and only Growlithe.
If you go to Taupe Hollow, it'll be Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard, Vulpix, Growlithe. Arcanine is added. You can get Arcanine on Taupe Hollow, Flareon, Cyndaquil, Quilava, Typhlosion. And then they don't list the other islands. So you have three choices. I think for a lot of people, the better choice is probably Greengrass. Because if your Taupe Hollow is like a 0% or a 5% and your Greengrass is like a 45 or a 50 or 55, you probably want to go to Greengrass to level that up. I don't know. If I was like Bobby, I would start Taupe Hollow this week and see if you like it or at least increase it. There's such a difficulty difference between Greengrass and Taupe Hollow without like that percentage boost behind you. But like you said, Bobby, you don't have like a huge percentage boost for Greengrass.
Right. That's the other thing. I don't have a huge percentage boost for Greengrass. I guess I do a little more because I did do 3 weeks of Greengrass. Right. So because of it was the first week you have to, and then it was 2 weeks of the Raikou event that I was on Greengrass. So I did that initial 3 weeks there. And then I think I've been like 1 week at Cyan Beach, 1 week at Topolo, and now second week at Cyan Beach. So I don't know, figure it out for what to do. But I am excited about the fire type week. I do think it's funny that they, like you said, they don't note Snowdrop or Lapis in there. But then later in there, they literally are telling you like none of the greater appearance Pokemon are going to be at Snowdrop, Tundra, or Lapis Lakeside. So like, if you want any of them, please do not go there for Fire Week. But which I don't even have either of those yet for my sleeps because I don't have enough sleep styles unlocked. But should be good.
I was saying this on my Twitch stream, I think like literally yesterday. Oh, also, I'll be doing a marathon on Twitch starting on Wednesday night and throughout the week. So that will involve older Pokemon games and Pokemon Sleep. And ideally, it's supposed to be a 72-hour marathon. So just there's your public service announcement. But this is what I was saying the other day. I think the problem with the other islands is they're not unique enough to like green grass. Like, this is a good example. They're like, on Topolo, you can get Charmander, you get Charmeleon, you get Vulpix, you get Growlithe, you get Flareon. All of those Pokemon are also on green grass. Like, I don't know if it's because there's just not enough Pokemon in Pokemon Sleep, but that's why it's like, well, why do I want to go to Topolo? Well, I need like Steelix and Onix, and I need like a Cyndaquil, but Cyndaquil is also hard to get because it's like behind Snoozing. I think it's behind Snoozing. I could be wrong. But it's like, when I go there, it's like Geodude and Krogunk and a bunch of other Pokemon that I don't really need. And like, I'm on the beach right now. You know what I woke up to? Like 3 Krogunk. Like, I don't want more Krogunk in Topolo either. Like, I just kind of wish that, like, I get why Greengrass has everything. It's like the starter island. It needs a lot of things. But I do wish that more, and maybe it gets better with time, where like the things I see on Topolo or the things I see on the beach, it's just not like everything from Greengrass in just like a different way.
Right.
Yeah. So
when new Pokemon come out, do they not then go to a specific place after their, you know, so like Comfey right now, it were just released this week, right? And you can get it on Cyan Beach or Greengrass.
Or Lapis. Right?
Or Lapis.
Yeah.
But once this Comfey event is over, will it not just be exclusive to Cyan and Lapis or something like that? It'll still be on Greengrass?
I don't know if Comfey will permanently be on Greengrass after. I thought I saw them say it will only be Beach and Lapis.
I don't think that'll be the first time they've done that.
No, they did that for Dratini and Ralts and Stuffle, where they were on green grass, and then they were specifically, those three Pokemon are specifically only Lapis now.
Right.
And then Dedenne is green grass and Lapis, which like sucks as somebody who wants a Dedenne. And it's like, I was on beach this week, and now I'm going to be on Topolo for some weeks. So it's like literally almost a full month of like, I'm just not going to get another Dedenne because I like, why would I go to green grass? I'm going to have to go to green grass for Entei, but like, I have no reason to go to green grass now.
Right. So one question I did have, when you switch islands, like in the middle of the week, does it also start this? It's like, because it's a new Snorlax, right?
Yeah,
so
your
it starts all that over, right? And people do that? Like,
yeah, some people do that.
Whales, I guess.
Some. be. Usually, I feel like if you're using the island switching, it's right at the beginning to reroll.
You could also island switch at the end of the week. So on like Sunday night, you could just accept that like your final spawns are not going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you could swap to like Lapis at the end of the week. And then you just get basic Lapis spawns on Monday, but you get the 5% boost to Lapis.
Oh, at the end of the week.
Makes sense. Yep.
Wow.
So my Lapis is at like 30%, but it's because I island swapped like 3 times. At the very end of the week, I was like, well, I'm on green grass and my green grass is at 55, so I could either accept like I'm going to wake up to 5 Igglybuffs and 5 Ekans because it's green grass, or I can just cut the losses, wake up to like 4 Pokemon on Lapis, but I end Lapis at a 5% boost.
So then you don't get the 5% boost for the first island you were on then, right?
No, or it's only it's Sunday to Monday is what determines the 5% boost.
I see. Okay. Got it.
You could also do that like during the Entei thing too. Is like, again, my greengrass is at 55. So when I end the week there, I get no boost. So I could just accept like, okay, I either get some spawns in the morning and don't get a 5%, or I move last minute, get whatever garbage spawns on Lapis or Snowdrop and get a 5% there.
But doesn't it cost money? I mean, it costs like diamonds or points
to you do can that? Get don't you one have to get cheaper the... one per month, I believe?
Yeah.
One really inexpensive ticket.
Okay. 100 points once per month.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Really min max in Pokemon Sleep here.
Yeah.
This game is so good, by the way. The mini candy boost, if you've never done that before, that is where your Pokemon will get twice the amount of XP per candy, but it will in exchange for four times the amount of Dream Shards. I think this is really good for Pokemon up to maybe like 20 to 25. I think if you have like a level 40, level 30 Pokemon, I don't think you should be using your mini candy boost on those Pokemon, because Dream Shards accelerate in such a high way when you get higher and higher. So like there's a huge difference of like, this will cost you 200 Dream Shards to jump from level 5 to level 10, like 200 Dream Shards, but because it's four times, that's 800 Dream Shards, which is like still not that bad, versus like level 40 to 45 is like 40,000 Dream Shards times four. I would use the mini candy boost personally. I would use that on like, oh, I just got a brand new Cyndaquil. He's level 7. This is the one I want to bring up to a Typhlosion. Like, focus on that. Don't focus on your like level 45 Walrein. Like, it's just going to be too expensive for Mr. Walrein. So that's how you use the mini candy boost. And you can do 50 a day. So if you are working on a Cyndaquil, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to do my 50 today on the Cyndaquil. Tomorrow I'm going to do my 50 on the Cyndaquil. Then my, assuming you have that much Cyndaquil candy.
I was going to say, you have to have
candy
for that though, right?
So keep that in mind when you're doing that. We don't know what Vulpix does yet. I know Flareon increases your pot size. Charizard gets you ingredients. Arcanine is helper. And then what was the last one? Typhlosion is berry finding.
Do they have... This is a weird question. Do they have Oddish in the game?
No.
Okay. I'm just thinking of like other Pokemon that are kind of associated with... So like Growlithe and Vulpix, right? Bellsprout and Oddish.
Oh, I see.
I was wondering if like those maybe had similar, if they had a similar skill, or if it was just completely random.
Maybe like energy for everyone for Vulpix?
That would potentially make sense. That would make more sense for Alolan Vulpix, I feel like, but...
Because it's fairy.
Yeah.
We already have a fairy just energy for everyone, though.
It's fair. What Igglybuff is, right? Igglybuff is...
Well, I guess like Sylveon is also fairy energy for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not even. They're still figuring this out.
Right. I don't think that Vulpix would be what Dedenne's ability is. I feel like if they were introduced like a Torkoal or a Tortinator, I don't know. For some reason, I feel like pot chance percentage, they would keep that towards a Pokemon that doesn't evolve.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. But also, don't know why turtles would help increase your pot size.
A lot of fire turtles on the mind. Is there another Pokemon that has Arcanine's ability of like helping boost? Because it's definitely not going to be that so. Then, right?
We can't assume for sure.
Right, but that would just be weird that two fire Pokemon would have like a helping boost thing.
When there are so few of them already? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, I guess. But that's what I was wondering. If they've
done because Growlithe and Vulpix are always paired together, that they would have like similar abilities.
Because they were like the red and blue back in the day, like the red and blue exclusives, right? So they always kind of pair them together.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I don't think there's going to be like a new ability, because I think when they were hyping up the Dedenne, for Raikou. They were very much hyping up that Dedenne would have a new ability.
Yeah.
What's Arcanine's ability again? You said it's like...
It's like helping times boost? Four, I think. I don't know what it's called.
It's called Extra Helpful.
Extra Helpful. That seems like a pretty good ability, yeah? Or a pretty good
It's one. Like Raikou's was, but only for a single Pokemon. And any Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
It's hard for the random abilities to be good because they're random.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They buffed Slow King and Slow Bro. They like made them get like Slow Bro got like a 1.3, pretty much got like a 30% ingredient boost, and then Slow King got like a 10% ingredient boost, and then they changed that they like work slightly faster. Spoiler, Slow King is still bad. Like I will stand on this soapbox and say I have what I think is one of the best possible on paper Slow Kings, and it is awful. I was on beach all week and I just removed him from my team. I was like, I'm getting more help from like a Gengar who doesn't even match the beach stuff. You're just like, it's just bad. There is this weird thing where like Pokemon like look good. I think people learned this with Raikou. Like on paper, Raikou looked like it would be okay. And then in execution, Raikou wasn't really that good. I think on paper, like Arcanine like looks okay, but I've never really seen beneficial, like I've never really seen like, oh man, my team killed it this week because I had Arcanine. Like, my team kills it when I have Dedenne. It doesn't matter what island I'm on. And my Dedenne is not even good. But, like, Dedenne is so busted good. It's just, like, and again, I have, like, this, like, perfect Slow King, and he's absolute garbage. And I have this mediocre Dedenne, and he's hard carrying my team. Sometimes, like, the numbers or what, like, they lay out for you is just not... It kind of reminds me of, like, VGC players who, like, live in spreadsheets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ah, I've calculated the perfect Ting Lu build, and it's like, okay, but have you tried it? And they're like, well, I don't need to. I like, no, but like, go out and like use it. I would encourage what I'm saying is, I encourage you just to like try different things. Like, just because like your calculator said it like the S rank Pokemon, if it just doesn't fit your team or the way you play, then is it really S rank if you're not using it the way you should be using it?
I mean, that's true. And now I want to go to green grass. If there's, I mean, it's only like a slight chance at Dedenne, right? Dedenne is like a rare.
Mm-hmm. The Dedenne on green grass doesn't start appearing, I think, until Ultra 1.
Okay. But that's my only option, right? Because it's on Lapis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I've never seen it on Lapis. I think on Lapis it starts appearing at like grade 3 or grade 4. I've never gotten it to appear. You go to Lapis if you want Bellsprout, because that's all that island has given me is Bellsprout.
All I've been getting is Bellsprout.
Well, Lapis
week,
has more.
Well, it's Bellsprout and Weepinbell everywhere this week.
I mean, there is an event going on for that.
That's true.
Still, it's just like, I don't need, you know, it's like, it was, I think I had, you know, 7 Pokemon appear or something the other day. Like, 5 of them were Bellsprout or Weepinbell. Mm-hmm. Just a little variety.
Also, why I brought up Slowbro and Slowking is they slow. I think they both have the same ability. But maybe it's Slowbro, where their ability is they will give energy to a random Pokemon, which isn't very helpful. But I think they changed it when they buffed them to say it will more likely give energy to the lowest energy Pokemon, which is more helpful, but. That ability would be way better if it was just will give energy to lowest energy Pokemon. Because there are some Pokemon that just use more energy than others. And again, you wouldn't know that unless, one, you sat in a calculator and you were doing all that. And if you were sitting in a calculator doing all that, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast and having Pokemon sleep questions, right? Like, you would be, like, living in that calculator. And two... It would give you the option to change your team more, being like, okay, well, I have the Slowking. I have a Sylveon. Sylveon gives energy to everyone. Slowking will give energy to the lowest energy Pokemon. My Walrein just happens to use more energy than anything. So the synergy here makes sense because the Slowking is going to target the Walrein. the Sylveon's going to do it for everyone. Now everyone's going to be healthy. It's just that like amount of randomness doesn't make it as good as if like Slowking gives energy to something that already has full energy, right? Like there are Pokemon like Victory Bell, which gives energy to itself, and so it stays healthy on its own. So like Slowking giving energy to Victory Bell is useless. I don't think Arcanine would ever be that good because you can't control where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to fix that. Like, yeah.
There's just Pokemon that aren't as good to use, right? I mean, that's every, right? How many Pokemon in Pokemon Go did people say, this is just dex filler? This is just dex filler, like week after week with all the like legendaries that would come out and things like that.
Yeah.
And then the game changes in some way, and all of a sudden those dex filler Pokemon are highly wanted Pokemon, right? Like the mm-hmm. Regis, like Registeel, I feel like was a long time, dex filler, like when it first came out with raids, and then all of a sudden it was like PvP and everybody's like, oh, you have a Registeel? Like, oh, I need to trade you for Registeel. It's like, oh, I thought this was just dex filler. I thought it was just dex filler.
I feel like it
all depends on updates and what's going on in the game.
Yeah, yep. It was the same for Wooloo. Like, didn't everyone like transfer their Wooloo? And then all of a sudden, like, Double became, like,
then
this
Double
monster.
Double got the right move. Yep.
And then I'm, like, looking through my collection. I was like, I don't have any. I threw them all away. If you need a good Cyndaquil, your best option is still Topolo. But if you're struggling in Topolo, wait until May 6th and go to Greengrass. Because they're boosting Fire-type there. But I guess you can pre-game your Topolo this week. Speaking of pre-gaming, holy cow, I'm so glad I brought that up. I talked about last week how I would pre-game my Pokeball Plus Plus. And then people were like, Steve's cheating. No, I'm not. Let me explain. First off, nowhere in the Pokemon Sleep contract did I sign that I need to press my button at a certain time. It's a game that encourages healthy habits. When I get ready for bed, I put it on my bedside table. I hit the button. I go into the bathroom. I wash my face. I brush my teeth. I go downstairs. I fill up my water bottle. I throw all of Archer's toys down the stairs because he's going to spend all night bringing them up into the bed. And then I lay in bed. And that's about 10 minutes. And then I move the Pokeball Plus Plus into bed. And then whenever I fall asleep, that's what happens. And when I do that, I get like 95 to 100% every morning. Mm-hmm. Every single morning. I get my points. I'm very happy. I get my powered up Snorlax. Great. Encouraging healthy habits.
But it's a sleep tracker.
It's tracking. Okay. Last night, I was so tired that I skipped all my routines. I skipped my healthy habits. There was no brushing of I'm ashamed of this. There was no brushing the teeth last night. There was no washing the face. It was, I'm immediately getting in bed. I'm going to bed rot and sleep. I get in bed. No one judge me. I know you all do this. I get in bed. It's 3:58. And I press the button. And I probably fall asleep within like 5 to 10 minutes. I'm out. This is why I skipped my routine. I woke up to a 65%, even though I slept 9 hours. Because you know why? My cat was making biscuits all night in bed, and it said that it took me 2.5 hours to fall asleep. No, it didn't. It took me 10 minutes to fall asleep. Not my fault. My cat's over here producing a whole bakery in the middle of the night, and now I didn't get all my sleep points in the morning. Healthy habits, pre-game your Pokemon sleep.
Yeah, I will say,
don't shoot me out.
I've been playing this game for 6 weeks now, about 6 weeks. I've never had a score of 90 to 100 for my sleep score. Part of that is, all of that is that I'm still not like, I don't get a ton of sleep every night. Yeah, when you said that, I didn't think there was a problem with that at all. Like, and then I saw everybody talking about throwing out the word cheating, and I'm like, cheating for what though? What is, like, you can, sure, cheating, whatever, but like, you're not gaining anything from it. Like, it's not like you're going to win Pokemon Sleep now because
you do get rewards from having a better sleep score.
But it doesn't affect anyone else you're playing with. So it's like, you can call it cheating, sure, whatever. But like, I agree with Steve. It's better sleep habits.
Like, it's just how the Pokeball Plus works, right?
Well, it's a sleep tracker. It's a bad sleep tracker. And that's the issue. That it, on average, I believe a human takes about 14 minutes to fall asleep. We don't fall asleep as soon as we press the button on the Pokemon Go Plus Plus. Yeah. That's not how most human brains work. So the fact that there is an amount of time that it wants you to be still before it counts you as being asleep makes sense as a sleep tracker. The issue is that it's a bad sleep tracker, and it does not track you in isolation. It tracks everything around you as well, and that's where you're kind of making it work for you.
Right. So like, if I was going to bed at 3, and this, I think I said this last week, and I hit the button, and I'm still for 10 minutes, but a partner or a significant other or a cat is in the bed, and they're moving every 10 minutes because they're not sleeping. They're maybe reading a book or watching TV or doom scrolling.
Reading a book.
There's no way around that. And that's also like, you could be like, well, you're cheating to tell it you're going to sleep early. But like last night, I wasn't awake for 2.5 hours. My cat was, definitely.
Okay, first thing, your cat shouldn't be reading at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true. I tell him all the time. Big fan of Shakespeare.
But so with a typical sleep tracker, right, it's usually you're wearing it usually, right? Or I don't know sleep trackers at all. So
really
I don't
watch or ring. The better ones you wear.
You're wearing it, right? So okay, so with how this game works without the plus, you're using your phone, right? Your phone has to, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the phone has to stay on, like the app has to stay open when you're doing it. And so you want to probably have it plugged in, right? Obviously. So how does that work? Is it the same thing?
It's the same.
Does it wait for you to be still for 10 minutes so your phone is on the bed? And
it's almost the same, except the phone also records audio, I believe.
Yeah.
Where the plus does not.
I don't know if the audio interrupts or stops. Like, again, how the plus works for those that don't know, or how your phone works, how Pokemon Sleep works in general, is that it needs 10 minutes of nothing, and then it starts the sleep session. And then technically, if you were to like move around, like, let's say you slept for like 6 hours, and then there's a bunch of movement, it would consider you awake. But if it then goes back to like 10 minutes of nothing, it will put you back to sleep. That's why when some people press the button in the morning, it'll say like, oh, you actually woke up like 10 minutes ago. Is it because it sensed that movement? So like, you could ideally get up at 4 a.m., like make a coffee, take a shower, come back and lay down. And if you were to hit it, it would be like you're awake. But if you were to be still again, it would just ignore that and be like, okay, you're still sleeping. You were just rustling around.
Right.
If you're at like the 8 minute mark and your cat jumps on the bed, you got to start the 10 minutes over.
Right.
And if your cat is having the zoomies all night, then it's going to say like, oh, it took you 2.5 hours to fall asleep. But right. That doesn't happen. Right. Like in other nights when my cat has the zoomies, because he always has the zoomies every single night, it's just considering that like slumbering or dozing, or not slumbering, dozing or snoozing, because it's committed that that initial 10 minutes of like, okay, you're asleep. Every movement after that is just you tossing and turning.
Right.
So
is there a lack of movement that will also do something as well? I remember hearing about that initially. Like, let's say instead of putting the plus on your bed, you put it on your bedside stand, and so it doesn't have the movement after 10 minutes, but then it doesn't have any movement at all.
You can do that for up actually to 6 hours.
Okay.
And then at the 6 hour mark, it says, we haven't sensed any movement in 6 hours. We're ending your session now.
Okay. Got it.
But if you want guaranteed slumbering for 6 hours, you could do that. But slumbering is like the easiest one to get.
All depends on how you sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slumbering is the easiest one to force.
Yes.
Like if I wanted slumbering for, I don't even know what is slumbering. Like, I think Totodile is slumbering. I could technically game the system to get slumbering, right? I could be like, I'm going to put this on here for 2 hours, then I'm going to move it to the bed, then when I wake up, I'm going to put it back on it. Like, you could force yourself to have slumbering. I don't know how you would force yourself to have, like, snoozing.
I don't know. You're the only one here that games the system, according
That's
to everybody.
True. I haven't figured out how to pregame snoozing. But, like, genuinely, I don't know how you would get it. Like, I get that slumbering is, like, no movement, and then there's dozing and there's snoozing, but I don't know how it's determining that. Like, if I was to just roll over, is it considered, like, while I was sleeping, does it consider that, like, is that a dozing action or is that a snoozing action? How much rolling?
I think it's the percentage of your sleep that is movement versus not movement compared to the percentages from your previous nights. I don't think that's something you can easily game beyond slumbering.
I can't tell you any of this because I don't know. I mean, this week's been tough. I've actually, like, a couple times I forgot to actually click the button to get it actually tracking, and so I woke up and or I like fell asleep. But we had a long week with work, with we had like a work conference thing happening this week, so a couple different nights it was just like I fell asleep or something, or nodded off on the couch or something, and then woke up and it was past 4 a.m and I was like, no, I missed like starting this. And so then I just recorded it the next day
manually.
You know, just added the sleep data and didn't get any experience points or whatever, but I did get, you know, they do restore the energy for your Pokemon when you do that. Then you don't get any spawns either, which is a bummer. But that was there was a comment a couple weeks ago about that, because I had done, oh, I passed 4 a.m but I just did it after 4 a.m and then that became like the first one of the day, and then it like screwed things up. And so if it's after 4 a.m and I notice it or something, I just don't track it now with the
it's like
plus I just add the data in the morning and take it that way instead. And then you get two, if you don't nap that day, you get two premium biscuits the next day.
That don't record their Monday. They'll manually record their Monday, so they'll miss those spawns, but then on Tuesday when their sleep score is better, they'll get two biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still recording their
sleep.
They're still recording their sleep. They're just
not track. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just they're not opting to get those first five. Well, I mean, the first five spawns are the same. It's like Bellsprout, Kurokunk, and like Jigglypuff. It's why I don't like napping, though. I don't like napping because it uses my premium biscuit.
Yeah. They made napping almost, they're almost discouraging napping with the way that it works in this game.
Take your naps.
But they're also like, you're more likely to get like snoozing if you were to nap, because like snoozing would be a nap. But they're, I don't know. I don't like I woke up with like a 64 this morning, and it's like napping doesn't fix that, because napping goes to that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it feels like it ruins my sleep for the night, because then I'm going to wake up on Monday not at 100%. Napping does feel like, it feels like a punishment in this game.
So what is, as someone who in this game has never napped, like, what is the true benefit of, in the game, what is the true benefit of napping?
More spawns, technically.
So you do get more spawns. You do get, are there different spawns when you nap than when you don't, or is it the same?
I mean,
it's drawing from the same spawn pool that you would have,
so you could
for
get,
that night.
Say, Dedenne, if you're on green grass.
You couldn't get Dedenne because you're, well, maybe, but like, how Pokemon generate in the game are based off Snorlax's power. So let's say, let's say Snorlax has, I'll make this really easy. Let's say Snorlax has 10,000 power. Dedenne would require a base of like 5,000. And then like Ivysaur might be like 1,000, or Bellsprout might be like 200. If it determines that like, okay, we're gonna generate all of these Pokemon, and now you're at 4,000 out of, you have 4,000 energy left, it can't spawn Dedenne in because it needs that base of 5,000. So when you're, because Dedenne requires so much, to even spawn in. That's why you'll probably, it's very rare to, like, I wouldn't say impossible, but that's why you wouldn't see, like, two Dedenne, because they require so much of Snorlax's power. But if you nap, your score isn't that high, because it would be, like, based off of how long you slept and then Snorlax's power. And then your second sleep is, it can only go up to 100. So if you use 20 for your nap, you can only go up to 80 for your actual sleep. So, like, yes, you're getting more spawns, but you're limiting those higher potential spawns because you're cutting Snorlax's power ultimately in half or a fourth or, like, a quarter, depending on what you're doing. So it almost feels useless unless you're just like, I need a bunch of Bellsprout candy because I need to power my victory bell. So I want to see nothing but Bells. I want to see Bellsprout twice a day.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it doesn't seem like there's, I mean, I guess you at the could, end of the day,
like, you
the
could nap is, maybe on like a Sunday because your Snorlax power is so high.
Right.
That like cutting it into a fourth isn't going to be that detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
But like who's but like who realistically is playing like that? Like if you want a nap on a Tuesday, then just take a nap. It's just like, I can't.
That's where you draw the line. That's napping on
saying.
A Sunday is where you draw the line.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I do like nap on Sunday. But when I do nap, I nap almost every Sunday because I like Sundays is like my latest night. I'm always up to like 6 a.m. with the podcast and working on it. I never turn Pokemon Sleep on nap because I feel like it's a punishment.
Mm-hmm. So when you nap, that becomes your first sleep of the day, right? Yep. Because it's like recording that day since it's after 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. So that's when you're getting, like you said, that's when you're getting your premium biscuit, right? And so you're not getting it when you go to sleep that night and you wake up the next morning, you're not getting the premium biscuit at that point.
Correct.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. That, I mean, you know, take your naps like for your own health and not for a game, but yeah, that seems weird. I feel like they could maybe do some adjusting to make that a little bit more beneficial for people.
If naps were more guaranteed to be like snoozing or dozing, because I've gotten naps where I've literally slept 90 minutes and it said I was slumbering. Where it was like, rip, rip, like, and that's fine. Like, that's what it recorded. I didn't move at all for 90 minutes. That's the slumbering. Cool. But I want the snoozing spawns. Like, I don't want slumbering spawns. I want snoozing spawns. And you would think like, oh, a nap would get you maybe more snoozing or dozing. And it's like, oh, that doesn't help, right? Like, Dedenne only appears on dozing, and Dedenne has such a high requirement to even spawn.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you wake up after, like, a good sleep, and you're like, okay, I'm Master 14 on green grass, Dedenne should be able to spawn. I woke up, oh, I have slumbering. There's just no chance that Dedenne's in that pool.
I mean, this is why the events where Pokemon can spawn regardless of what your sleep style is are so good. That's why they keep doing this.
Yeah.
Yep. So with this event, right? Not this Comfy event, but the Fire Week that's coming up. It did say Pokemon of other like sleep styles can appear, but is it just the ones that are the fire type ones?
Yeah.
Or okay.
So when it says like Pokemon will appear regardless of your sleep style, it lists all the fire type Pokemon we listed.
But it's those fire type Pokemon. It's not like a Dedenne because that's not part of this event. It's just for the...
Right. Yeah. Like right now, your options are Greengrass or Topalo. And if you wake up with slumbering, no chance for Dedenne. It has to be dozing.
Right. Wait. Greengrass or Lapis, right?
For Lapis. Yeah, Lapis.
Okay. But yeah, then it has to be dozing. That's...
why people probably feel annoyed, I guess. Like the biggest complaint I've seen of Pokemon Sleep is I wake up and I see the same Pokemon. And it's a very valid complaint. And the way that gets fixed is by one, continuing to play the game, because you need to increase the percentage of your meals, you need to increase the percentage of your island, and then two is to like start getting Pokemon that match to then increase your meals and then increase Snorlax. Because once you do that, you do start seeing other Pokemon, but there is still that frustration of like, I see a lot of Bellsprout no matter what. And it's just because that's how Snorlax generates its power and then breaks it down into certain spawns, and certain spawns only appear. Like, if you're slumbering, Bellsprout loves slumbering, so you're going to see Bellsprouts. And it's like, if you're looking for Cyndaquil and you keep getting slumbering, you're going to see less Cyndaquil because Cyndaquil doesn't like... Again, I should look up what Cyndaquil is. I don't think it's... I'm pretty sure it's snoozing.
It's funny because, you know, day one playing this game, why would Hannah ever use a Master Biscuit on a Dedenne? 6 weeks in, I'm like, I totally understand why Hannah would wear a Master Biscuit.
I do not regret it. That is the best decision I've made in Pokemon Sleep so far.
Yeah,
it makes complete sense. My Dedenne is still a star.
The whole point of this conversation is Dedenne is busted good.
Yep.
Who cares about Entei? Dedenne. The real legendary Pokemon of Pokemon Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's our episode for y'all. Yeah, we'll be back next week. Like I said, there's gonna be a marathon stream on Twitch this week, starting on May 1st in the evening, and then going until time runs out. So if you want to swing by, that'd be cool. If not, also cool. Live your best life. Good luck with your Dedennes. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Hannah, for being on. Otherwise, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super really looking forward to the Entei research music in Pokemon Sleep. I want to know what it is.
Yes, 100%.
Can't wait for green grass to be burned down.
No.
5 feet, it should be, like, thematically. Should be on fire.
There's just going to be campfires. Carefully protected with rocks.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers, starting with Stephen, Kay, Tone, Stuart, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Josh, Jessica, Fumes, Courtney, Brian, Brady, and a huge shout out to our executive producer of Spencer. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you would like your name read at the end of the episode, or you just want to support our podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show and to join our Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week.